Okay, I'll call right now.
Talk Radio. Welcome to Booker T. Washington Speaks from our virtual African American Family Room Forum on Saturday, August 18, 2018. I am Dr. Haleem Mustafa, your co-host, supporting our distinguished host and moderator, Professor Washington, who is the senior great-grandson of Dr. Booker T. Washington. Before giving tonight's topic, I'd like to ask you to join me in prayer. And I'm going to say it in Arabic and English, just for information. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahir rabbil alamin. Ar-Rahmanir rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Dino صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. The translation from the Arabic in English reads as follows. With the name of Allah, God, most gracious, most merciful, praise be to Allah, God, the cherisher and sustainer of all the worlds, seen and unseen, most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of judgment. Thee alone do we worship, and thy aid and assistance we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those on whom thou hast bestowed thy favor and grace, those whose portion of life's bounty is not wrath, and who go not astray in their duty and service to you. Amen, or amen, amen, be it so. Again, I am Haleem, the Dream Builder, your co-host here supporting our professor, who is the senior great-grandson of Dr. Booker T. Washington. And I want to just say, before I say the topic, that we're a little delayed getting on here, but the show is really a profound show, and I'm sure you'll enjoy, so bear with us and enjoy. So the topic for tonight is Omarosa's Newman self-serving, or is she seriously disheartened about Trump's perceived racism? I'll repeat that again. The topic for tonight's show is Omarosa Newman's self-serving, or is she seriously disheartened about Trump's perceived racism? that's the question for tonight that we're going to be discussing. And so without further ado, I'd like to bring on our professor, if you are up from the technology transfer information, sir. Professor? I will continue. In any event, the situation with Omarosa, it kind of came forth from, situation where she was terminated by John Kelly, the White House Chief of Staff, which was apparently not known by the president. And the young lady, she actually recorded. Are you here, Professor?
I am. Go ahead. Continue. You go ahead.
Okay. Excellent. So the young lady, she, spoke with President Trump. And so she actually recorded the conversation. And then there were some other things that kind of occurred where she spoke with Trump's daughter, who actually offered her some money, $15,000 a month, which is like $180,000 for the year, to consider a position in the campaign. So this becomes really a testy situation because the president, he tweeted something on the tweet that she was a, he called her a dog. I mean, this like really, that's, you know, I'm just saying this just like, this is kind of like not really high intellectual politics. This is like slugging in the mud now in terms of those kind of things. But what I want to say is this, is that there's some things that we have to learn from this situation that occur, is that what is the whole idea of politics and leadership? If, for example, things happen in the political world, you cannot allow that to blow up your whole engine or your whole organization. And the president, I believe he should have been honest with her, because she came to him from the apprentice program. She was an apprentice in this, a participant in this apprentice that the president had started before he became president. And I believe, you know, I don't know if she wanted that, but she was in it. So she understands the idea of, competitive jousting for leadership. But in her role as an aide, she was in a position to know and be about a lot. And I just think that this is a situation that I had a lot of sympathy for, or empathy for her initially, thinking that, you know, something that was not all her fault. But I'm going to say, in that position of leadership where she had taken a job and she had become, an icon of the president administration, we have to learn sometimes that we have to learn how to bite the bullet, at least in certain circles, right? Because unless she really just want to make money outside of the politics or serve the nation, I believe in serving the nation, there has to be a level that you have to learn how to just, you know, let the president keep his prestigious image, unless it's a life-threatening situation that actually is going to damage the administration in terms of just something like life-threatening, right? Because that's something outside of, you know, you're here to protect and serve under the Constitution, enemies foreign and domestic. Now, if there was a life-threatening situation, I believe that, certainly that might have warranted some of the things. But from my perspective, I just think that it's a level of just being patient and understanding that, that things do happen. And, you know, and maybe she needed the money, I don't know. But it's kind of, to me, a situation where after having, you know, taken the job for the past year, and, you know, and becoming, you know, isolated from certain, connection to her own culture, maybe she just kind of lost it in that sense. But as Americans, we have to understand that in the things that the president is doing, we have to ourselves be, diplomatic enough to really hear and communicate and convey to keep hope in the people. Now, what's going on here is it looks like we're kind of imploding upon ourselves now. And this is the question we've got to ask ourselves, why the implosion is taking place? Why is it that now we have a temperament of intolerance starting to take over in terms of people not having the patience with each other? Now, I know that the idea of tolerance is this country's been, you know, was kind of like built on the level of tolerance in terms of tolerating our situation from the slavery situation. You know, it wasn't something that they rescued us from initially, but eventually, you know, things did work out over time. So I just believe it's a lesson to be learned from the young lady that, you know, if, for example, she feels she was really, really hurt, then I understand. But I think this right here is more about a financial gain as opposed to something that was, you know, for her not performing her job, if that was the case. Or let me just dig a little deeper if I can. Now, I don't know the insights, but I hope it wasn't a situation where relationship had kind of crossed the line. You know, those things happen, right? You talk about Mr. President Clinton. He had a situation happen, right? And that was certainly something that became known later. But I'm hoping that this is not the case with this young lady, being herself a black woman in the politic leadership and having the diplomacy to get in that position and then losing it for whatever thing that might have caused an emotional bridge disconnect. So I believe that we just have to, you know, certainly give time that it's due to kind of fetter things out. But I'm hopeful that our president has the integrity to not step into the quagmire of relationships with your staff. That's a no-no. I'm just making that thought. I'm not saying it's an accusation for sure, but it's a thought in my head. So there's more to be said, but that's just some of my initial thoughts here, and we have to move forward as a nation and not let it destroy our future goal until we're striving for freedom, justice, and equality, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Professor, if you would like.
Yes, I'm on. Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear, sir. Yes.
Okay, first of all, to all of our audience, I really want to say I apologize for the technical difficulty. It was all my fault. We had some serious technical difficulty that I take full responsibility for. It won't happen again, God willing. But I'm glad that you came back, those of you who had come on initially and in the midst of the difficulty, you have come back. So thank you. Now, I do want to say something about the commentary you just heard. Number one, I chose the topic. If each week I look at the news, carefully look at the news, looking for issues that pertain to the African-American community to try to pick something that will stir our interest and generate a good conversation that will allow us to think about what's going on in the African-American world. And this week, as many of you know, the news has been full of the reports about Omarosa Manigault Newman and her falling out with the president. Now, she was actually let go from her White House job December. And in the interim, there have been whispers or maybe some promotional advances that she was going to come out with a book about what happened. And the book came out on Tuesday. I bought the book as soon as it was available, and I've read it thoroughly. Many of you may not have had a chance to read it. You may just know what was on the news reports about what's in the book. But the question that I ask and many of you who may not have read the book, but you know some about something about it, may have some opinions. But the question that I ask is whether or not that her agenda, and I'm not judging the lady. I don't know. I don't know a lot about her. I've been reviewing her past history with The Apprentice Show and her relationship with Donald Trump, which as far as I know, has always been purely professional. But I just asked the question. We can talk about it without judging her. But I'm asking, is her agenda self-serving? Obviously, she'll make money off of the book. I imagine she'll make money off of the book. I don't think she'll ever get another government job, you know, because she basically lambasted the Clintons who had employed her. Now she's lambasting the Trump. So I don't think anybody's going to trust her to hire her to work at that level again. And maybe she won't need to with the money that she ought to make off this book. But is her agenda self-serving, or was she really disheartened at what she perceived as racism by the president? Now, I'm not one of those people that has accused Donald Trump as being racist. I don't know Donald Trump. I've seen him do some things like pardoning this lady who was in prison recently. I've seen him do a number of things that indicate that he has an open mind and he judges things on their own merits. And even though he said some things after the Charlottesville situation that I don't think were appropriate, but you know, the fact is that she says, after working for him or with him for a long period of time, for about 14 years, apparently she came to the conclusion that she couldn't work for him anymore because she had come to the conclusion that he was racist, whereas on a previous interview, she said he may be racial, but he's not racist. But now the indication is that she's changed her mind. So I'm wondering what happened. What did she do in her reincarnation as a anti-Trump person that made her want to become the Brutus or the disloyal government appointee? So that's where I am right now. I just want to hear what y'all have to say. So, well, you've been with us for a long time. Why don't you take it right now?
Well, I don't, you know, I don't, this woman was fired by the chief of staff. She was on the staff, and the chief of staff chose to fire her. Now, it was misappropriate for her to try to go around his position and go to the chief of staff boss, or the person that assigned him to be over the staff, and try to change that around. That is totally unprofessional. And as far as Trump calling her a dog, how many times have people called Trump a racist? I mean, some of her actions, maybe the actions posed that she is acting like that. You know, you can't put a dog in a meat house. And you have a president, which I adore. I think he does a good job under the circumstances that he's working on. Do I agree to everything that he does? No, not really. But one thing he does, he keeps to his word. He keeps to his campaign promises. He don't change midship. He tried to do, put him out there like he said he was, and he have done quite a few things, economically and also as far as trade that's concerned. So no, I think this, and you did one up than I would do. I might read the book when it gets to the library, but I'm not spending money on it. And those who are against her action, her behavior. Now, I have to admit, the lady does have some spunk to her, if you know what spunk means. I listened to her go after Wendy on her talk show, which I don't care too much for her talk show. The only time I look at it is when it just happens to be on. That other talk show that Whoopi Goldberg's on, I can't think of that lady's name, but she stood her ground against her, which I think was admirable. She was on another woman's talk show, Henny or Jenny. The question came up to who she's dating. She made mention that she dates dark chocolate men there at a table full of white women. So I think that what she done that time was admirable. But no, I don't even know why come the news that this happened in December. Why is it continuing to be the news? Well, it's simple. The news media is totally against Donald Trump. And the more and more that they become against him, the more and more I myself favor him and would vote for him again based on what he's done thus far. And there's a lot of blacks that favor Donald Trump. They just don't broadcast it like I do. Nobody can hold anything over me. Well, a lot of people threatened by their jobs and other positions, and I can understand. But that can't be held over my head. Nobody can threaten me over a job and anything else. But that's my answer to your topic. And I don't have anything else to question, to comment on her. If that's going to be the rest of your program, then I might cut out of here.
Well, I do have another backup topic. I just wanted to see what the view of our panel and our guest was on that topic, because I have another backup topic that doesn't relate to the African-American community, but it does relate to Mr. Trump. So you might want to hold on for just a minute. Just give me a minute to go around the table and see what other views might be about that topic, and then I'll bring up this other topic if you can hold on for about 5 minutes, Mr. Bianchi. Okay.
Sure.
Does anyone want to comment on the topic concerning Mrs. Amorosa Manigault Newman and her basically change of heart concerning her former employer, President Donald J. Trump, and especially since she's been on talk shows and released recordings, private recordings of conversations that she had that probably told to the other people that they were being recorded, which to me is a little bit underhanded to do that, but that's another story we can talk about some other time. But does anybody else want to comment on what we talked about?
Oh, I just want to make a statement, if I can.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Thank you. I think Omarosa has a lot of emotional issues. She's been through a lot of traumatic things in her life, and I don't know why she decided to come out and now and write a book and say the things that she's saying, because she's been on talk shows where she said things like she would never work for anyone that was racist when they asked her about Donald Trump. And who knows, maybe Donald Trump really isn't a racist. I don't know. Only God knows that. You know, maybe all this stuff is just a show. Maybe he's being paid. Maybe Omarosa's being paid. I don't know. These people get paid to create high sensation stories. So maybe this is just another high sensation story to try and take people's minds off of the fact that Donald Trump committed treason by doing what he did with the Russians. I don't know, but that's how I feel about it. It's just another high sensation story to take attention away from Mueller. That's all I have to say.
Okay, thanks, Ms. Bain. And again, thank you so much for being there for me during the past week and for Jackie. I'll never be able to repay you for your kindness during that period. So, again, thank you so much.
Oh, you're so kindly welcome.
Okay. I don't know if our other guest that's been sitting there waiting patiently wants to comment. But if you do, please go ahead and let's hear what you have to say.
Hi, thank you. This is your sister-in-law.
Yeah,
and
I can see your number. I didn't want to pull you in if you weren't ready, but thank you again, Stephanie, for being there for us.
Yeah.
And what would you like to say about the topic tonight?
Okay. I'd like to say, first of all, she, Omarosa, from what I understand from what's on the news, she held this information from back when she was working with Donald Trump before he came president, about him using the term nigger. And that's a recording she claims she had from back then. So if she knew he was like that, and then she turned around and still worked for him, still voted for him, and still supported him, why all of a sudden did she bring this blackmail up over his head? You know, and then another thing is like, when she came out with that, saying that she had that recording from back in the apprentice days, he got very kind to her. Amorosa, what's going on? But once it was said that there really wasn't a recording of him saying that, oh, boy, he just let her have it. That's when the dog came out. She became the dog. And, you know, it's like when Monica Lewinsky did blackmail President Clinton, okay, Monica Lewinsky, she knew what was going on. She worked in there. She wasn't a retard or a juvenile or anything. And she had sex with this married man. She held his sperm on her dress for months until she was ready to blackmail him with it. She went forward with it, and the government paid her like they may as well pay all the prostitutes. Why isn't she in trouble, too, for this act? You know, but I did not vote for Trump. I cannot wait to vote against him again. And it's because of things I've heard come out of his potty mouth, you know, both prior to becoming president and since he's been president. I have heard the racist slurs myself, and this is what has me so against him. You know, when everybody knows that the KKK has been our black people's terrorists in this country for hundreds of years, yet he refers to them as the good old boys, and then he refers to these brothers who haven't came down on nobody's races as a son of a bitch, you know, and I just get tired of his mess. You know, this country is so torn apart because once he start getting out there with that type of stuff, letting the KKK know that they're the good old boys, it's like they start really coming out of the closet doing whatever they want to do, like they had the green flag go ahead. And he got that started. And he knows it. He don't care. You know, he already said he wish he could run this country like Kim Jong-un runs Korea. I just get tired of it. We need somebody that's fair than Trump is, you know, for all people. What he's doing with those Mexicans, separating them from their babies, that's horrifying. Horrifying. No way can I uplift this man. And the things that's come out of his mouth, the things that he said, and he see that blacks are being treated worse and worse since he's been in there. And he knows he's the cause of it. He's a ringleader. And as far as Amorosa, I don't really have no sympathy for her blackmailing him like that, holding on to that bit of information all them years. And then when she gets into a bit of a tiff with the company, then she comes forward with it. You know, you should have been said something or kept your mouth shut. You know, she's, like it was said, she has a pattern of doing this type of sneaky behavior. You know, I'm not saying that I want to see her go down or nothing. I don't want to see nobody go down. But she needs to take a look at that and start correcting her behavior in the future. You know, it don't sit right with me at all. And he definitely doesn't sit right with me. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your candor, my dear sister-in-law. Okay, we're going to just shift gears. We're going to just do an hour tonight. It really won't be an hour because we started late. But we're not going to talk long on this part of the conversation. And I again apologize for all of you that were inconvenienced by starting late due to the technical problems that I had. But anyway, the other part of the topic has to do with the revoking and the upcoming revocation of the security clearances of people that normally, according to tradition, would have been able to retain their security clearances so they could be able to be of service to the United States intelligence community, including the president. Of course, the first one to go was John Brennan, and he, from what I understand, has been very, very vocal against President Trump. Trump basically said, I don't need this man to have a clearance because he's not going to be of any use to me as an advisor. I don't even want to have the man around me. So, no, he doesn't need to have a clearance. And that's at the pleasure of the president. I would say this, that normally, unless the person is going to continue to work in government after leaving the military, either as a consultant or contractor or in some form where they're actually related to the need to have classified information, their clearances are basically revoked on them leaving the service. Of course, that doesn't mean that they can't immediately be reinstated, but normally there's going to be a requirement at least to have another background investigation, and they'll give them an interim clearance while the investigation is being completed. The reason being is that, you know, there's a lot of eyes watching people while you're on active duty. Once you leave active duty, normally if you're not working in that type of environment, you may travel, you may be exposed to foreign agents, a lot of things can happen. And so they'll take your clearance. It doesn't mean you can't get it back. These particular people are in a unique position to hold on to their clearances. And the only reason, from what I understand, Ms. Bianca, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that they hold these clearances is so they can be readily available to serve, you know, in a capacity to benefit the intelligence community and the president. So the question that I have is, was President was he serving the nation appropriately by revoking the clearance of the former CIA director and then putting a group of other people on the list to have the clearances revoked? So let's see. We'll just talk about that and then we'll wrap up. But let's go to you, Mr. Piaki. What do you think?
Well, if you kicked out the police department, they take your badge and your gun. Don't they?
That's right.
Well, if these persons were relieved of their job, their duty, well, everything that goes pertaining to that should be taken away also. If they want to apply for something else in the future, then let them go through the process all over again.
Right, right. That's what I was saying.
So I don't know what the problem is.
Well,
I know what the problem is. It's a complete abuse of power. I mean, those people are in those positions. They have that kind of clearance so that when the next people comes up in line who are inexperienced, they can get some help from the ones who are already there who experience it. That's just a complete abuse of power that Donald Trump did. You see, didn't like what that man said. Period.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you, if what the man said shows some ignorance on his part, then something may be wrong with him mentally. He doesn't deserve a security clearance. Who in the heck in their right mind would speak against their boss, the person that you're supposed to be working for, the person in this case who's the head of the nation and his responsibility for the safety of American citizens? So if you are relieved of that position, which required for you, which you was granted the permission to have a security clearance, then when you're no longer in that position, why you want to continue to come walking back into some of these places where there's pertinent information that only people with that privilege
have? Well, Donald Trump is an illegal president. He shouldn't even be there.
Well, now, see, that there is ill, that there is irresponsibility on your behalf. But if a person was fired, quite naturally, all of a sudden they could become a disgruntled employee. Look how many employees went back into the post office and shot the place up. How many employees done went into other private firms and shot the place up because they was disgruntled over the fact that they got laid off? Did they have the code to get through the door? Were the doors changed when they got rid of this person? And if the door combination hadn't been changed, would people not be alive today? So, no, if you out of the job and the position required for you to have that privilege, you lose that privilege.
Okay, well, look, let's move on to another one. If somebody else wants to comment, we're going to wrap up in just a minute. But, Mr. Yaki, thank you. Dr. Mustafa, would you like to comment on that?
Yeah, I just say this. I think that integrity has to be across the board on everything, especially at leadership levels. I mean, we've been going through a spiral of integrity, and I can look back at Clinton when it really started making an alarm, right? And so how are we going to self-correct this? What are we going to teach the young people as they're observing this? Because they're picking up the behaviors, and they're starting to affect at the lower level with the children. Because every adult that sees this stuff, they talk, they go through transformational, problems, mentally, attitudes, and just anger, and it goes to the children, they go to school, and at the school you'll have the reflection of this kind of societal SHIT rolling downhill. So I'm saying integrity across the board.
Well, you know, I agree with you, but when you look in society, look at the Catholic priests. What have they done to these young boys? What is the highest point of integrity are you supposed to have other than the church and these Catholic priests? Look at Eddie Long. Look what he done to those boys. Was he not a leader? You know, I can go right on down the line. Marcus Garvey was misogynistic against black women. King had multiple partners. I'm speaking, please.
Don't the Russians have videos of Donald Trump of prostitutes?
I'm speaking, please. So we're talking about leadership. Well, you know, you come in, people, and I'm not saying anyone in particular, but folks, you got men that make babies and leave it on society to take care of them. What kind of demonstration of leadership is that to your children? Look at the economic conditions in your community, whereas outsiders come in and control the flow of currency. Is that a good thing to show your children? So, no, I don't see where Donald Trump is no more lacking leadership than what's going on and have been going on all the time. After all, Johnson used the N-word, so should we get rid of the 1964 Civil Rights Act? After all, Johnson said that Thurgood Marshall, you're not going to be a Supreme Court justice. John F. Kennedy was against the 1957 Civil Rights Act, and also John F. Kennedy used the N-word. So should we get rid of the things that came out of their administration? Should we take down the Marcus Garvey statues because he was misogynistic toward a black woman?
That doesn't excuse him.
Who, Marcus Garvey?
It doesn't excuse Trump.
Nobody's saying it excuses Trump. Trump hasn't done no more than anybody else have.
Worse. Mr. Kelsey, how do you know that? Were you in Russia when he was there with those prostitutes? Giving people
was he a president of the United States? Well, at least he was with women.
And guess what? All her integrity went out the window in the door when Trump claimed to be president, okay? There's no more integrity in the White House.
Hang on, but who was there?
I'm not angry.
Who was there? And
I just want change.
Well, let me answer your question. Who was there? I wasn't there. And really, frankly, I don't care if he was dealing with some female prostitutes. I am happy that he had a more preferable choice of gender.
Well, again, let me intervene.
May I say something?
We're going to cut it off in a minute, but go ahead, Dr. Mustafa.
Let me say this.
Go ahead.
You know, I read a Facebook post that said the only way that these Trump supporters will stand is if he turned black. I believe that. And we know he ain't going to turn black. So it's like anything goes, and people are still going to uphold him, and he's doing some rotten, dirty, low-down stuff. He has divided this country so badly, and he continues to do so. It's the first time that I've seen we had a president that gets up tweeting and people have to shut their children's ears, put their hands over the children's ears. They can't. It's like X-rated. You can't let your kids listen to the stuff coming out of his mouth. What type of leadership is that? It's horrible. You know, he has no integrity. Zero.
Maybe that's why Trump is so angry with Omarosa. Maybe he was having a liaison with her. Maybe they were having some kind of relationship. I heard real rumors about that before anyway, that when they were on that TV show, that they had a relationship. So who knows what really is going on here? This is a real big soap opera.
If that's the case, then she's lying. Because she said on the show, and I heard, and I could play it if you wanted me to, that her desire in men is tall, dark, chocolate men. Then she's lying then. Now here we got another lie. Lies chasing lies
issues.
All over the place.
Yeah, okay. I think they have, both of them have mental issues. Maybe she sees him as a black man. Who knows? She might have a psychological problem.
Well, you know, we can come up with all kinds of things, but here's the point. Nobody was more divisive than Barack Obama. You have over 15 million blacks in this country that's belong and as members of the Southern Baptists. They don't like homosexuality. So when he did whatever he done, and we know what he done, then that divided them from the country. Under Charles Blake, you got 7.5 million blacks that's a member of the Church and God in Christ. They believe in heaven. So what Barack Obama done as far as his favoritism toward those alphabet groups, well, he created a division amongst them.
That's funny.
You know
because,
what? Mr. Deontay,
every
no
time,
matter what, Donald Trump and his supporters, they always come back to Obama to blame him for something. Obama had his issues too. I'm not saying he was perfect either. But Donald Trump, he takes the cake, buddy. He's got the cake in ice. I mean, he has absolutely no morals whatsoever.
Why keep blaming him for this stuff? It
wasn't at least he ain't bound to no foreign leaders.
That's right. But we know who he is.
Like to say,
all the foreign
America,
dignitaries Trump has met and shook. I didn't see him bow his head one time. Obama bowed his head like he was bound to the master. You know, I can talk and go on and on and on.
You're blind.
You guys,
I think you're blind.
You guys,
you're blinded. You have to open your ears.
Well, see, here's the thing, ma'am. I have yet to say anything insultive to you. I could.
And you better not either. Because I can say a few things back to you.
Well, you already have been saying insulting things.
Well, look,
not to you. I'm talking about Donald Trump. Do you think you're Donald Trump now?
Okay, look. Let's go ahead and close this out. I think we've had enough tonight. It's been good. I'm sorry we started late. I think we have had enough, though. I thank everyone for joining us. Next week, we'll pick the topic. Maybe it won't be so controversial. But let's try to be family. Let's try to be nice to each other. God bless you all. Thank you for joining us. And join us again next Saturday. All right.
Well,
thank you.
I agree with everything that you said, but I have a tendency to pick my own family. But you have a nice weekend, Mr. Washington.
Same as well to you, Ms. Pianca, and everybody.
Everybody have a nice weekend. Stay blessed.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Talk next week.
All right. God bless you.